talking about storm chasers, and sometimes there's those that like take shelter. There's others that like chase after the storms. But then there's like a third category. Maybe you fall in that one. You sleep through the storms. Is there anybody in here that just sleeps through the storms? And there's good parts to each and every one of those categories. Like those adrenaline junkies that just love to go after things. Maybe the ones that sleep through it, they're like, I know God's got it all under control. I'm just gonna sleep this off. I'm not going to worry about this, right? And then there's those that, you know what, shelter is pretty good, right? You can be safe in the shelter. You know how to prepare, and you've got it all under control. So I'm not sure where you're at today, but shelter comes up a lot when you think of storms, right? My wife, when buying a house, she was always saying, we need to have a basement so that if there's ever a storm that we can go down in the basement. If there's ever one of them NATOs, right? We can go down into that basement, right? Like she was, and then if we, God forbid, we buy a house that didn't have a basement, she's always like sending me links, like, here's how to build a cellar in the backyard. Like, here's one where you can dig a big hole. And I'm like, what are we doing? Like, grabbing Toto and like going to Oz? Like, this is not something that happens on a regular everyday, but she wanted to be prepared. And so today, as I was like, what can I contribute to this whole storm chaser series? I wanted to take a look at the shelters, the three shelters that God gives us, because shelters are good. Shelters can keep you safe in harm. And so when we're going through storms in life, there are some shelters that we can lean into. And so there's three that I kind of pinpointed with the help of Peter, that he said, you know what, there's these that we can lean into. The first one is the growth shelter. Everybody say growth.
Growth.
Okay, so growing is good. Right? Growing up is good, right? You never want your toddler to stay a toddler forever. Isn't that right, Ron? Like you're like, Kai, come on. You can do this. No more diapers. You got this. We can grow up. We can go into new phases of life and not have the same struggles. Well, Peter here talks about growing up. And it's kind of, I don't know if you've ever heard the term baby Christian, right? They're just a baby Christian, right? I don't know if you've ever thought that about yourself or if that's been said about you, but maybe you fall into this category because Peter's talking about those baby Christians, those that, whether they're new to the faith or they haven't grown up in the faith, and he's challenging them all to grow up and making that tie-in with what a newborn is facing. It says, therefore, in 1 Peter 2, 1 through 3, if you're in the app, you can follow along there, or maybe it'll pop up here on the screen. It says, therefore, rid yourself of all malice. Some of you are probably wondering what malice is. Like, this whole series, I've been texting out at 7 a.m., just systematically walking through 1 Peter from the beginning to the end as we walk through this series. And this week, everybody who texted in the word chaser got kind of a breakdown of each word and a prayer to say, God, help me get rid of malice. Not my lice, but help me get rid of malice. And it says all deceit, all hypocrisy, all envy, all slander of every kind. So he's saying, you know what? In order to grow up, some of these things you need to get rid of. This envy that you have, this malice that you have, this hypocrisy that you live one way in front of one group of people and then you're another way in another group of people, like that is something you need to rid yourself of. But then he says, like newborn babies, right? My wife always sees a newborn baby and she's like, oh, I just love babies. I'm like, no more, honey, no more. Every day it seems like she, whether it's a picture, whether she's scrolling, or whatever it may be, she hears a newborn baby cry and instantly she goes, oh, and instantly I tense up. I'm like, oh no, right? No, not again, right? But it says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you've tasted that the Lord is good. So like I said, people have been texting in the word chaser to 855-398-4752. And instead of like going to you version, we said we would bring the devotional to you each and every day, 7 a.m. But this reference to babies, I don't know how Andrew's doing, Todd, but I don't know. My kids were never like the Instagram filtered, like pure, like every time you like try to lay them down and take a picture, there's like stuff flying out of them, like coming out of orifices that you didn't like it's like, come on, like just sit still. We got to, right? Those stupid little, those calendar thingies, right? Where they put the circle here and the baby here and they're like this, like, and all the time, you know, like the mom's stressing out, just lay perfect, honey, lay perfect, get back over here, right? This has got to go, right? We're not talking about that kind of perfectly edited picture and photo that you had to use Photoshop just to get them to smile, right? Like we're not talking about that. Like newborn babies. You remember that, right? You remember that, Mr. Bohannon? Yeah. You remember being a newborn baby when you were hungry, right? He's all eyes on me, right? And when you were hungry, yeah, I know, crazy guy, Grandpa. Like when you were hungry, maybe you, Christian, you remember that? When he was hungry, he let it known that he was hungry. He didn't just say, "Hey, Mama, I want something to eat." Like that is not the case. Like a newborn baby isn't perfectly smiling for the camera. A newborn baby, when it's hungry, its face is red. The horns come out. It's screaming, "I will die if I don't get this bottle in 4.2 seconds, or if I don't get my mama in 4.2 seconds when this crazy bald man's talking to me." Right? Like that is like they are screaming and crying and red. They are, "Get me what I want." Want, right? That's what a newborn baby is like. And that's the hunger that I believe Peter's talking about when he says we should crave God's word, right? It's not some dry textbook that we only open up when we're desperate. It's a craving, like when it's 96 degrees outside and we need that Murphy USA icy that's nice and cold after mowing a hot lawn, right, Susie? Like I used to go and see her every time I got done mowing the lawn. I'd come with my little 49-cent cup. I'd be like, "Refill, please." And it would cool me off time after time after time, right? Like, it's all that you want. Peter's talking about craving God's word. See, 2 Timothy talks about the Bible and he says, "All scripture is inspired by God and it's useful to teach us what is true." Just in case you don't know it or not, there's going to be people that think things are not true that are true, or that are true that are not true. Like depending on the mood, right? Right? If we look at our toddlers, think a little Kai back there, Ron, right? She's a genius. Because bedtime is oppression, right? Like going to bed at a bedtime? No, right? Like that's her truth, right? She can fight it, she can scream, she doesn't want to go to bed. That's a toddler's truth. But all scripture being inspired by God is useful to teach us what is true. It's like God knew one day that we would get those things messed up, that there would be this dysphoria and we would be confused on what genders are what, on if we're a cat today or not. Now I'm not here to say if you've got dysphoria, like, you're welcome here. That big giant sign, that's just as much for you as it is for those that are overweight. Like, we can come into this place and everybody is welcome in the presence of God. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, me included. He welcomes us just as we are. He just loves us enough to not leave us that way. To challenge us, to teach us what is true, to use his word for us to crave it and to seek after what is true, to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us. That's what it goes on to say in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right, that God uses it to prepare and equip his people for every good work. And that's what we're using it here today. We're looking at God's word and saying, okay, am I a person that's full of envy? Am I a person that's a hypocrite? Am I a person that is full of malice? Do I have a hunger? Do I have a craving for God's word? This is what I like to call the growth shelter. That there's a place where God shapes you, not with judgment, but with grace. And he doesn't just show you what is broken. He gives you the tools to rebuild it. He gives you the word to be your foundation, to be that lamp unto your feet, that light unto your path, to tell you which way to go, the right decisions to make, the decisions that we don't need to make, to learn from God's book, not just when we're in crisis. Many times we'll turn to him when we're in crisis, but maybe in between storms, not just when we're in one, not just in the middle of the storm, but also in the aftermath. Before the storm, because at 2 a.m. when the storm strikes, when the depression hits, when the bottle is sitting right there, that's not when we have the options to Google, okay, what does Jesus say about the bottle? And what does God say about depression? No. In John 14, 6, it talks about the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance. I don't know, but I am not the best rememberer of things I've never learned, right? If you start like asking me questions about nuclear science, I am not going to be able to answer them because I've never learned them. I've never taken them in. If the Holy Spirit is ever going to bring back to our remembrance, it's got to be something that we're daily taking in. We're daily finding ourselves in God's word, daily looking to him. Before the storm is there, saying, God, you have a plan for me. You created me. You knit me in my mother's womb. How do I know that? How can I say those verses? Because I've continually put them in, continually feed off them, continually let them nourish me so that when the enemy wants to attack who I am, when the enemy wants to tell me who he is, I can say, no, God has a plan for me, right? When depression wants to take over, I can say what the word says about me. And that's what the growth shelter is. When we're growing in God's word, ingesting it, letting it be our truth, letting it be our guide. Because there's plenty of other things that are going to try to guide us. The second one is the community shelter. This is the one that is written about in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. It says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and to good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Let's be honest. Staying connected to one another is hard. Staying connected to one another is hard. We get busy. Life gets busy. Work, like Danny was talking about how he did like 76, 78, 79 hours of work last week. Just 1 week. It's busy. And Susie's like, psh, that's part-time, right? Like that's hardly anything for many of you guys. And the workload that's on us. But real community, right? When pajamas are so comfy, when church can just be live streamed right to you, except for today when the internet's down at Innovation. Connection can be so hard. But real community, where people know your name, right? Not just cheers, right? But where people notice that you're not okay. Where they stop and linger and talk and care and call and text, and the place where people check on you, the place where people like Brenda Vogel find out that Connie Bianco is having knee surgery. She puts it in her calendar. She texts her, calls her. She gets a hold of her first thing in the morning on the 11th and says, I'm praying for you. The first person that Connie Bianco is ready to message back as soon as her knee surgery is done is Brenda Vogel, saying, thank you. Thank you for seeing me. Thank you for knowing me. The ladies that all got together, my wife has pictures on her phone. I don't know if you want to see them or not. But Tara was having like brain surgery yet again and a stent and all kinds of stuff put in. And the ladies that are on her event team are the ones that are bringing her food and showering her with love and checking in on her and praying with her. That's the community shelter. When fear, when the storms are there, that the community rises up and says, we got you. That's why I know we confused Brian for many, many years. He's almost got it down. Because at first, you know, we were small groups, and then we were life groups, and then we said, hey, Brian, we're going to change the name again to Connect Groups, and it took him like 3 years to get him down. There was like a period of time where he was like, we're doing a small life Connect Group, and everybody's welcome, right? Like, but we said we need to put that terminology on it because that is where we connect, right? It's hard to connect. Like, we've got three different services, the 9 a.m., 11 a.m., 6 p.m. People are getting baptized in all three of them today. That's awesome. But it's hard to be connected, even when some people attend first service, some to second, depending on the mood of the day or the temperature of the day or if they're going fishing later, like whatever. We love for traveling sports and only able to make it at 6 p.m. That's great. That's why we did that service. But it gets hard to connect with everybody going in every which way and every which direction. That's why we did connect groups, so that sometimes in the middle of the week isn't as crazy. Sometimes you want to jump in and go through, whether it's connecting on the fruits of the Spirit or connecting on parenting or finances or mind traps or whatever it may be, just signing up and saying, you know what, I want to dig in with others in this freedom group and experience freedom. It's doing life together. Yeah, we say fill out the connect card. Like, that's usually the first like inclination of connecting to the church, and that gets you text about the next upcoming pizza with the pastors or even the next steps, which happens actually today at 12:30. And we talk about partnership. We talk about being connected. We also talk about serving on a team. Because the fact that like there's a floating tornado in our sanctuary, or that Dorothy is here from the movie Twisters, like that happened because there was a team. And the only way they got that tornado up was with Rob carrying that giant ladder and making sure that's all set up and working together shoulder to shoulder. We have a group now that's getting formulated right now called Building Hope. Mr. Don Franks and Rob actually got to meet one another, didn't really even know each other that well, but got to go and put together a jungle gym, outdoor play place or whatever for a foster parent that was connected through Habitat for Humanity. And take the hope that we experience here and take it out into this world by just being shoulder to shoulder. That's a lot of what our teams are doing. Right now, they're back there playing zone defense, right? In the pre or nursery room right back over here, or pre-K toddler room, they're like 5-on-17. And they're watching your kids, and you have enough problem when it's 1-on-1. But they're back there playing zone defense. And, all right, we're going to teach these kids about Jesus. We're going to sing these songs. We're going to worship him. We're going to let them know that God loves them. And they're working together. See, they've got stories about your kids that you don't even know. they get together and have inside jokes over bagels of just who can fill up the diaper the most. It is amazing the stories that they can share. You get connected when you serve because you don't serve alone. You work shoulder to shoulder with other people who are trying to grow, trying to love, trying to make a difference just like you. So we have got a growth shelter, we've got a community shelter, but we also have, the third one is this Jesus shelter, right? Because in Matthew 11, Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened. I will give you rest. And he says, take my yoke upon you. Now, for those of you that aren't farmers or have no clue like why the yolk out of the middle of an egg, Jesus would say, put my yolk on you. That's like really weird. That is not what he's saying. He's talking to a group of farmers, and he's talking about these oxen that plow the field. And if you've ever plowed a field with oxen like I have, no, I haven't. if you've ever plowed a field, you put an older oxen next to that young buck. Right? The young buck who's ready to just plow the field all by himself, but is going to kill himself in doing so. The one that doesn't know how to do a straight line? the one that's going to go out there and go crazy? No, they would yoke them together. They would hook one neck into the other neck, and the old one would teach them how to walk at a sustainable pace, how to plow the field at a sustainable pace to where they're not dead. And Jesus is saying, take my yoke upon me. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. This is the invitation of Jesus that we all need on days where we're barely holding it together. It's okay. He's there. When life feels like you're carrying every grocery bag in one trip and then that handle breaks, right? Jesus says, let me carry it. I've got a better way. That his shelter isn't one that you earn. It's not that you have to pass a test. It's not that you have to clean yourself up first. You turn to him. You run to him no matter how messy you feel. And you learn that he's gentle. He's not harsh. That he teaches rest, not religion. So we see these three shelters that God provides. The grow shelter. Grow in his word. Be strengthened up. Be built up. Know. Be able to bring it back to your remembrance. Let the Holy Spirit bring what you've put in. The community shelter. We have one another because we're better together than we'll ever be separate. And then we have the Jesus shelter. But what's the purpose of all these, right? What's the purpose? I told you guys I read scripture slowly, and that's been one of the funnest things about having this whole text message thread where you text in the word chaser. Like that is been fun because I get to slowly walk through scripture and say, you know what? What does this mean? How do we apply this to our lives? And so back to 1 Peter 2. By the time you get to verse 9, it says, but you are not like that. You are a chosen people. You're a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. And as a result, you can show others the goodness of God. For he called you out of darkness. Oh, that sounds like a lyric that we just sang. Into his wonderful light. Once you had no identity as a people, but now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you have received God's mercy. And then it says, dear friends, I warn you, as temporary residents and foreigners, to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors, that even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God when he judges the world. See, we're not just meant to find shelter. God's given us these three shelters to find rest, to find peace. But you're also meant to become one. You're the one that's chosen. You're the one that's holy. You're the one that's royal. These aren't just hype verses to build you up and get you excited about your day. It's a mission. There's a simple purpose for you being here on this earth, that God has called you out of darkness so that your life becomes a light for others. Do we know that? Each and every day, do we live like that? God, let my life be a light to others today. Let me be a shelter for those at work. Let me be a safe place for those at work, for those that are going through storms. Can we be shelters for them? Jesus put it this way in Matthew 7, 1 through 5. It says, do not judge. Like we've heard this verse, right? This is the verse that everybody can quote. Do not judge or you too will be judged. Very true. Very true. Very great. First, Jesus, good job. Thank you. Like that is great. That's very beneficial. Do not judge or you will be judged. Great, great job. But it says, for in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So like I said, like the scripture's teaching us, this, if we're going to be judgers of others, like if we're going to be people that sentence, that write off people, that tell them off, like that's going to happen to us too. The measure you use, it will be measured unto you. It says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? See, now it's calling you out, right? It's saying, hey, you got a telephone pole in your eye. Why are you looking over at them? Take care of the stuff in your... It says, how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye. Very wise, like information here, Jesus. He says, and then you will see. See, all those parts, very good parts. All those parts are parts that we've heard before. We've heard, don't judge. We've heard, don't judge the same measure, it's going to be judged upon you. Like, we've heard that. We've heard the thing about the sawdust and the plank and the telephone pole, all the, like, we've heard about those parts. But here at the end it says, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly how to remove the speck from your own brother's eye. In other words, we're not here to be the prim and the proper, and we've got it all together. No, like the signs on the outside of the building don't say no perfect people allowed. It says that everyone's welcome. Can we be the kind of people that say, you know what, I've got my own mess, or I've had my own addictions. I've had these issues, or maybe I still have these issues. But you're safe. Can we be the kind of people that says everyone's welcome because nobody's perfect and anything is possible? Can we be the ones that said, I've been where you've been? Can we be the ones that said, I've been addicted to that as well? Here's how I got set free. Let me walk with you in your journey. Doesn't that sound a lot better than saying, hey, you got problems. You got issues. You need to stop that, right? And we break out the finger and we start wagging it, right? Like that's wrong. That's the devil, right? That's evil, right? Or we say, you know what? I used to grab a bottle every time that I was depressed. And here's how God set me free. And I want to walk with you in that journey. Do you want to start that journey? See, when the storms roll in, because the storms do roll in no matter what, and Jesus said, in this life, you will have trouble. Thanks, Jesus. could you have said it a different way? But when the storms roll in, will we grow deep roots in his word? Will we jump into that growth shelter and be strengthened by his words? Will we link arms with others in the church? Will we run to Jesus and actually rest, find his perfect peace, and then we get to be that shelter for others? Because somebody, everybody, right, is caught in a storm. Either there's a current storm, or you just got out of a storm, or you're getting ready to go into a storm. And they're not looking for somebody with all the answers. They're looking for someone who's been through it all and is able to be still standing, and is willing to stand with them in their storm. So today, maybe the question isn't, which kind of storm person are you? The one who takes shelter, the one who sleeps, the one who chases after it. Maybe the real question is, where's your shelter? Where have you found shelter in the midst of the storm? Because I promise you, if it's anything other than Jesus, it doesn't last. The house built on sand looks really good until the rain hits. The marriage that's built on sand, the relationship that's built on, oh, we just love each other. Oh, she's just so pretty. Oh, he's just so handsome. Look at that full head of hair. It goes away. It runs, it migrates south and doesn't come back. I don't know, that was not in my notes. If it's anything other than Jesus, it doesn't last. Whatever we're building our lives on, can we make sure it's built on the rock, the one that stands the test of time and the test of any storm? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for this time that we've get to come together and focus on you. Focus on what you're doing in our lives, where you're calling us, even in the midst of a storm. Even in the midst of hard times, in the midst of a crazy season, in the midst of we don't know the direction of up from down to left to right, God, you have reassured us even today that you're with us, that you're ready to guide us, you're ready to lead us, that you want to yoke up with us, and that, God, that we're not in this journey alone, that we have those who have gone through life's ups and downs and twists and turns, the hurts and the pains. God, I thank you that those to our left and right, in front of us, behind us, that they are people that don't have it all together, but they are people that are here because they realize that we're better together. They're not forsaking giving up on gathering together, but they're leaning in to what you have and what you have to offer. God, I thank you so much for this season. Even this stormy season, where the rains come and the winds blow, showing us what's true in our lives, showing us what's important in our lives. God, so many times when the storms hit, we can be paralyzed by fear. But God, you're calling us to take our next step, to be led by you, to follow after you. Now, the songs that we sing say that we will call upon your name. Your scriptures tell us that. Romans 10:9 says, if you openly declare that Jesus is your Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you will be saved. God, some of us, our next step isn't joining a group or jumping on a team. Maybe our next step is just simply giving our life to Jesus, letting go of us being in control, surrendering the weight of the worry of this world, and let you be our shelter, not just in the storm, but forever. So if you're here today, and that's a decision that you've never made. You've never made the decision to trust Jesus, to follow him. Now you've been following your own ways because that's all you've ever known. But maybe today you realize it's time to come under his shelter, to trust in him, to make him your Lord and Savior. That's true. I want to lead you in a simple prayer. It's a simple repeat after me, and so I'll say it and then you'll say it, but don't worry, you're not going to be the only person saying it in the room. I actually ask that everybody says it, because whether you've prayed this prayer before, maybe you didn't mean it. Maybe it's time to truly surrender to Jesus. And we ask that everybody does it because that's how we do our faith journey. We realize that we're all in this together. And so if you're here today, you want to trust in Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, would you repeat these words after me? Church, would you say it with him as well? Say, Jesus, I need you. I'm tired of doing life my way. I believe you died for me and that you rose again. Today I ask that you forgive me of my sins, that you be my Lord and Savior, that you would be my shelter. Today I give you my life. From this day forward, I am yours. Amen. Church, would you celebrate with those that just said that prayer?